Welcome to our final presentation for Chapter 1, where we discuss in detail short-term investments. Now, maybe this deserves its own chapter, but they're short-term investments, cash instruments, short-term instruments, vehicles. They're very, very straightforward. There's not a whole lot to them. But they're very important if we need the money in the short term. If we need the money in the long term, there are much better options. But as we're going to see, the allure of guaranteed return, or pretty darn close, can keep people to keep money in these short-term investments for the long term. And they need to take our class. Slide 55. To review, short-term investments are usually referred to as cash. Now, it's not money under your mattress, right? It's money in certain vehicles, certain investments, certain instruments. Normally, most people think of short-term investments as 6 months, 9 months, a year, up to 2 or 3 years, depending on the importance of the money. They're usually guaranteed or pretty darn close, and we'll discuss the pretty darn close in our presentation. Very liquid, very low risk of losing principal, hence very low return. Over time, depending on the epoch, depending on the time period, usually you get 1 to 3 to 4%, maybe even 5%. But for many years, since the global financial crisis, the Great Recession, they were paying zero or pretty darn close. Then the Federal Reserve Bank, as we'll see, is the entity in charge of the short-term rates in our country, and then there are central banks around the world. They started raising interest rates in 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19 because the economy had healed to the point where they believed that it was time to raise interest rates, and then COVID hit. So the rates went back down to zero, but then the inflation that was the result of the COVID shutdown started to rear its ugly head. So in 2022, they raised rates dramatically and now are seeing whether they have pulled off the coveted soft landing, meaning they slowed down the economy enough to stop inflation, but did not cause a recession. Well, we'll see what happens. It's a place to park your money. I like to use that term. I mean, it's not there forever, right? And there's also this entity called the concept called the emergency fund. And we'll just touch on that. That's more for a personal financial planning class, such as our Principles of Money Management class, Business 121. So slide 56. There are two ways to earn interest on short-term investments. The way that we're normally used to is called the stated rate, the nominal rate, the interest rate. You go to a bank and ask them what's the rate on their CDs or their savings accounts, and they'll tell you, and you get paid that interest amount on your principal. The other way, once you enter the world of short-term investments that most people don't use, is the discount basis. You buy the security, the investment, the vehicle, at a discount, at a lower amount than its face value, its maturity value. And then what happens is the interest accrues on the investment. And that's an accounting word, meaning it builds up on the investment until finally at the day that the investment is matured, you get back the face amount. So for example, this is treasury bills. We'll talk about corporate commercial paper. You purchase a security now for $4,800, but the face value is $5,000. So in 10 months or 9 months or whatever, 6 months, whatever it is, the term, you're going to get the entire $5,000 back. Your interest would be $200. And there's a reason for this, which we'll see when we start to see these examples. There's a presentation that I'll refer to again that we want you to watch that goes through several examples of short-term investments. And the reason for this is actually very simple. It makes it very easy to trade these things. So you buy it for $4,800. You don't have to wait until 10 months, whenever it matures. You could turn around and sell it in 5 months, and probably it'll be $4,900. You see how that works? It makes it very easy to trade these in the world of investments. Most of us simply don't join this group of rarefied money managers. You know, this is for the mutual fund managers, the pension funds, the banks, and the life insurance companies. But you could be involved if you are so inclined. Slide number 57. What are the risks of short-term investments? Hey, Payano, you told me these things are risk-free. Well, or pretty darn close. You're right. You're not going to lose your capital. The risk of default is basically nil. And in some cases, it's backed by the federal government or an agency thereof. But there are other risks. No investment is perfect. All investments have advantages. All investments have disadvantages. We will come back to this idea over and over again because we have to be able to identify and enumerate those risks. With short-term investments, you have a very high risk of losing purchasing power, sometimes called inflation risk. Short-term investments, as we saw in our previous presentation, barely could keep up with inflation. And there's a risk of opportunity cost lost opportunity cost. Now, opportunity cost is one of those concepts that you get hammered at in economics, and we'd like to think of it. It's important to us. In other words, by choosing a short-term investment for long-term money, you'll hear the saying, you're leaving money on the table. Unless your time horizon is short, there are several investment alternatives, almost all of which will give you a better rate of return. And the allure, as we said, of the guarantee of not losing principal is very high for many people. Right now, it's a problem because short-term interest rates, as we're going to see, you're going to it's part of your assignment is to go find out what they're paying. You're going to see they're paying 5, some paying more, 6%. And people, after losing a lot of money in 2022 or maybe 2020 or 2008, they're saying, well, I'm happy with 5%. The problem is it doesn't usually last. The economy goes through phases and the interest rates, short-term interest rates, are then lowered. And by that time, that means the economy has done really well. The stock market has zoomed ahead, and it's a little late for you to move your money out of the short-term investments. So that's the takeaway. You are going to, if you stick with these short-term investments for the long term, you're losing purchasing power, possibly, or basically not gaining any. And you're also losing opportunity costs, assuming the world doesn't end. Slide 58. Oh, yeah, by the way, repeat after me. There is no such thing as a risk-free investment. Right, no such thing. All investments have advantages. All investments have disadvantages. What are some of the types of short-term investments on slide 58? Well, demand deposits. That's the legal term, but you just know them as savings accounts. Now, at credit unions, they call them savings accounts, but legally they're called share accounts. Nobody uses that term. And if you did, they would kind of look at you funny and say, did you used to work in the credit union world? These checking accounts that pay interest are popular now, but they were paying almost nothing. I mean, I took over my mother-in-law's account. And I was getting 3 cents a month or something like that. I said, are you guys going to send me a 1099 at the end of the year for whatever, 60 cents of interest? And they said, oh, sir, the IRS says if it's under $10, under $10 or $5, we don't have to do it. I said, good. It's ridiculous. And then money market deposit accounts. We're going to see money market mutual funds are very popular. And the banks and the credit union said, well, we can do that too. These demand accounts are offered by banks and credit unions, and they are called demand accounts since the funds are available upon demand. Well, they legally, if you walk into the bank and say, I want my $77,000 today in cash, they're going to look at you funny and say, well, we can give you a check, but we don't have that much cash around. And as I'm sure I've told you in another presentation, they'll tell you to come back tomorrow, which they can do. They can say, come back tomorrow, but that's not usually how things work. They'll give you a cashier's check, they'll wire it, whatever you want to do with it. They provide the highest level of liquidity and are usually guaranteed by the agency of the federal government, FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, NCUA, National Credit Union Association, up to $250,000 per account. So pretty darn good, right? You know your money is safe. Now, when you go to your bank or credit union, look around and you'll see a poster that says, check out our CD rates. These are just fancy savings accounts, folks. But what's the difference? You are telling the bank or the credit union that I'm going to leave this money on deposit for a month, 6 months, a year, 2 years, up to 5 years. And so if you want that money before the maturity date, right, they're going to smack your little hand and take some money away from you. They're, again, insured to that same $250,000 per investor. You will also see online or at your brokerage firm, brokered CDs. These are sold by brokerage firms, and usually offer higher yields. And because they're brokered, you can sell them before the maturity. Now, why would a bank or a credit union go to a brokerage firm to get them to sell their, you know, hawk their CDs? Well, they need some cash. Banks are like you and me. They sometimes need some cash, and they get their money from deposits. So they haven't sold enough on their own CDs and savings accounts and the likes. So they get they ask the brokers to help them, and the brokers, of course, get a commission and whatever, some kind of fees, and you as an investor are getting a better return. Why do we know exactly? You might get a letter from the FDIC saying your bank has gone through a receivership. Don't worry, you're going to get your money back. And you see, okay, but yeah, you were going to get your money back, but it's more return. There's a little bit more risk, very little bit more risk. There's a risk of a few hours of consternation and having to jump through hoops to get your money back. But don't worry, you're going to get your money back. Now, money market mutual funds are very, very popular. In fact, recently, there is now over $6 trillion U.S. dollars in money market mutual funds, which is usually a good sign. Whenever the money market mutual funds balloon, because people are so afraid of the stock market, or the bond market in this case, the bond market went down in 2022, that means that in about 3 years sooner, maybe later, that's going to make its way into the stock market, because these are people who go, ooh, is it too late to get in? And then, and then when it falls, they're, ooh, is it too late to get out? They need to take our class. Money market mutual funds, usually just referred to as money markets, are mutual funds. And remember, mutual funds pool their capital together. In this case, they use that capital money to invest in exclusively short-term securities. Virtually all brokerage firms, mutual fund companies offer them. Now, unlike the money market demand accounts that we saw at the banks and credit unions, these are not guaranteed by an entity of the federal government, such as the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation or the National Credit Union Association, so you can lose money. No. They're still considered virtually, even though there's no specific declaration of guarantee. If there is ever a default, and we're talking, folks, these things are meant to stay at a dollar. It was the late 70s, early 80s, somebody figured this out, that they can make a money market, a mutual fund, look like a checking account. And that's what they do. They look like checking accounts. But there's no guarantee that they're going to stay at a dollar. And when they do lose money, they lose a penny. And they're now 99 cents. And so it's called breaking the buck. That's exactly what it's called. Look it up. Just type into any search engine or go to the library and type breaking the buck. And you're going to see all kinds of articles. And it's very, very rare. Last time it happened was in 2008 in the global financial crisis, the Great Recession. And people, of course, get very unnerved. Well, when that happens, the mutual fund company goes to the regulators and says, oops, we screwed up. Will you let us take some of our money and put it into the mutual fund? which is normally forbidden, right? You never, it's for one of the first things they tell you when you start looking to get your license and work in the industry, you never commingle your money with your client's money. But the regulators go, okay, all right. And then if they're really in trouble, the rest of the industry wraps their arms around them, of course, with the blessing of the regulators, because they don't want their clients to think that they're next. And this is what happened in 2008. To a company that really made some really bad decisions, and you might have heard of Lehman Brothers, invested heavily in Lehman Brothers short-term securities, wound up, one of their mutual funds lost a penny. That's typical what happens. The other one lost 3 pennies. Whoa! And so, this is when there was the global financial crisis right before the election. Some of you don't remember, but it was pretty serious. We were looking at the abyss. The bond market seized, the stock market fell 50-some%, 56% or so. The Federal Reserve Bank, which has a really big financial bazooka, they were the white knight. They came to the rescue and said, don't worry, we will backstop all money market mutual funds for 6 months. So that was September, and then again in March, they said, we'll do it for another 6 months. And by the September of 2010, they said, okay, things have calmed down to the point where we don't have to do this anymore. So that's why we say they're not guaranteed, but they're pretty darn close. And they're very, very convenient. So one of the assignments is to look into what are some of these things paying. And then in our next chapter, we're going to look at mutual funds in detail. And you might want to research a money market mutual fund and see that they have some interesting characteristics that other mutual funds simply don't have, because other mutual funds invest in stocks and bonds and go up and down. And just, you have to be prepared for that. But money market mutual funds, no, you're not going to lose money. Right? Okay. Unless the world ends, in which case, doesn't matter where your money is. Slide number 61. Now, some people still love these savings bonds. They used to be great gifts for newborns because you got a document. You got a little savings bond in your hot little hands, and you can put it with a card, and the parents would put it in a drawer somewhere and never remember that it's there again. But now they're all electronic. So if you think that your parents probably were given one of these when you were a child, what you need to do is talk to them now, because if you use these things for qualified higher educational purposes, you don't get charged any tax, which is pretty cool, right? So they use the discount method. You buy the thing for, say, $50, and then 20-some-odd years later, you get $100. And one thing is you don't have to pay income tax on the interest until they're redeemed. We're going to see some instruments you do, even though you don't get any interest until it's redeemed. They're free from state and local income taxes. Why? Because the feds can't tax the states, and the state and local governments can't tax the feds. It's part of the Constitution. And as we said, if you use them for higher education, they're free from federal income taxes. So check the drawers where you might think these things are, or talk to your parents if you're, or maybe you're a little older, traditional 18 to 22 year old student. Because a lot of these things just disappear and never seen again. But now they're not as popular because it's all electronic, so you really can't give them. You can give them as a gift. You give them a card and say, here, it's on file. Here's your account. That's how you get them. Now, these Series HH are being phased out, and I think after next year, they're gone. So I should take that away. I think after, is it 2024, 2025, or maybe 2026? They're going to disappear. So you can no longer purchase these. Now, the savings I bonds are the inflation indexed bonds. They're guaranteed to outpace inflation, but not by much. And they really pay very little interest. However, they became very popular. Celebrities, no doubt, in 2022 when inflation spiked there for a month at 9%. So these things were paying around 9%. Which is pretty amazing, but remember, they're not going to beat inflation by much. Also, they only allow you to buy $10,000 per person per year, And if you want to put them in your tax refund, you can buy an additional 5,000. So they were very popular, and many people were introduced to our one of our first assignments is going through treasurydirect.gov, and it's not the worst website, it's not the best website, and so people were really angry because it wasn't as easy to use as Amazon or their banking website or whatever. But it's not that hard. In fact, as I've said, I think I've told you, I'll tell you again, when we look at the assignment, when you look at the assignment and listen to the commentary, the Mexico, I was very, very fortunate to meet the project manager in Mexico City who worked on the project and said, oh yeah, we stole from the Treasury Direct.gov. Pretty much we took it right away. We said, hey, this is good. We want this too. Slide number 63. Okay. Remember the risk-free rate of return? Treasury bills, T-bills. Sometimes the B is lowercase. Yeah. These are obligations of the Treasury, and they are sold at a discount and redeemed at face value. We're going to see that they're very typical 1 month, 3 month, 6 month. And I think they actually use week, 13-week, and 28-week. Generally regarded as the safe, 26-week, I'm sorry, safest of all investments, and we use these as the benchmark for a risk-free rate of return. They're free from state and local income tax because the feds can't tax the states and the states can't tax the feds, but you still have to pay federal income tax on them. And they can be purchased directly from the Treasury at treasurydirect.gov, which is, as we said, part of your assignment. It's actually very cool, folks. You get the same price that the big boys and girls who have millions and billions of dollars to invest get. You get the same price. So it's a great leveling of the playing field. That's not true if you were to walk into the world of bonds or corporate commercial paper or banker's acceptance notes, which we'll talk about later on. No, you're not going to get the same price that the big boys and girls have with billions of dollars. In fact, unless you really are very wealthy, they're just going to say, get out of here. Now, we finally get the corporate paper, commercial paper. What a silly name, but that's what it's called, folks. These are short-term unsecured promissory notes, often just called IOUs, issued by corporations with very high credit standings. So if you're a large enough corporation, you can issue these and not have to go through the rigorous registration process that the Securities and Exchange Commission requires, which is actually very costly. So if you just need a short-term loan, you don't have to go through all. If you need a long-term loan, then it's like a mortgage. That's a bond. That's what we talked about, bonds. And it's a long process, and it's actually pretty expensive. And that's why investment brokers make tons of money, because they're the ones who shepherd the new debt, the bonds, through the process. Whereas with commercial paper, corporate paper, you don't have to do that. You just go out to the world. And the world looks at you with a scant eye and says, okay, you're Hewlett-Packard or you're Oracle or Apple or one of the high-tech companies, or maybe you're Johnson & Johnson. And they say, yeah, sure, we'll lend you the money. They're usually sold in multiples of $100,000. So as we said, do they really want to talk to us little grunts? No. Who buys these things? Institutional investors, such as money market mutual funds. You see how it's working here? We buy the money market mutual funds, and money market mutual funds buy the corporate commercial paper and the treasury bills and the banker's acceptance notes. Now, what are these things? They're similar to corporate paper, but they're typically used by companies that can't go to the investment community and say, hey, I'm a regional manufacturer here, and I need, $90 million in the next 30 to 90 days. And the people say, well, who are you? We're not interested in you. So they go to Wells Fargo. They go to Bank of America. They go to one of the big banks and say, hey, we need a short-term loan. Will you help us? And the bankers say, sure, we can give you these banker's acceptance notes, which you can then turn around and sell on the open market. And you have to pay us back, within 60, 90 days. Typically, this is what they are used for. It's something they're often used with international trade to to make some serious, you know, transactions. I need, you know, 50,000 engines or whatever. So you'll see these. They're a little hard to find, just as the commercial paper is a little hard to find online for free. Because, again, they have the minimum denomination of $100,000. So on the assignment, I ask you to find, if you can, it's a bonus question. And some people think they find them, but they don't really. But that's okay. I'll still give you the point. Find some quotes on corporate paper, commercial paper, or banker's acceptance notes. If you go into a brokerage firm, knock on their door and say, "Do you have a quote for commercial paper?" Their eyes are going to light up and they're going to go, "Oh, come on in, sit down, here's a cup of coffee." Because they're going to think that you have hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest. And then when they find out you're doing it for a community college introduction to investments class, they might go, "Get out of here." But if they're smart, they're going to talk to you and they're going to say, "You know, this is what we have to offer. Yes, we're happy to help you." Because they've got the systems that can plug into those quotes. Online for free, nah, it's going to be really hard. But hey, have fun. See what you can find. Okay, have fun. It's meant to be a little treasure hunt. But don't tell a broker that you're interested. Go ahead. See how they react. Slide number 66. So which short-term investment is for me? Commercial paper banker's acceptance notes are usually only suitable for institutional investors, money market mutual funds, pension funds, banks and credit unions and life insurance companies. Savings bonds used to make cute gifts for newborns. I guess you could still send them electronically. Many investors will purchase treasury bills directly from the treasury. And it's so heartwarming to know that you're actually helping students. One of my students last semester said, "This is great. I just bought some treasury bill." And they're paying a pretty good amount. I say, "Yeah, they are right now." And certificates of deposits are fine if you're sure you're not going to need the money. Right, until it matures. Because if you do, oh yeah, they're going to hit you with that penalty. And be careful when you buy a CD. Unless you tell them otherwise, you have a window. It's usually, I think, 2 weeks where you have to... either say, "I want my money back," or they're going to automatically roll it over to another 6 month or a year or whatever CD. So you can say, "No, I want it to be put in my checking account at the end." Money market mutual funds, money market deposit accounts, they are, I think, the preferred choice by most investors. Why? Because they're just so convenient. They're not going to pay the same as a CD. They're going to pay a little bit less. But when the interest rates go up, the CD won't go up. Of course, when interest rates go down, the CD will stay at that interest rate. So the money market changes every day as interest rates go up and down. This is something that banks and credit unions get hammered at. You know, you buy a CD for 2 years and interest rates, for example, if you bought it in the beginning of 2022, and then interest rates, you know, you're buying your 2-year CD at 1% or whatever, and now they're paying 4 or 5%, 6%, you're going to not be a happy camper. So many companies, many banks and credit unions give you what is called the bump. They allow you to bump up your interest rate maybe once or twice throughout the term so you can bump it up to the current rates. It's not bad. So I'm a big, more personal fan of just money markets because they're just so easy. And CDs, if you need the money, if you know you won't need the money until then. And some people might even want treasury bills. Many uninformed investors still use a savings account from a bank with tons of money in there for the long term. And they just don't understand that. They're just, as we say, there's a phrase, as I said, leaving money on the table. They could do a whole lot better. They're suffering from lost opportunity costs. They need to take our class. So, emergency fund debate. Many financial experts recommend that households create an emergency fund of 3, 6, or even 9 months. You know, I'm a little bit ambivalent with this. I don't think you need to have $50,000 sitting in a savings account. Now they're paying more, right? So not paying 1.1% anymore, but they were. You are adequately insured, right? I prefer to use that money to pay down high interest debts, especially credit card debt, high interest debt, especially credit card debt. But there are many exceptions. I mean, if you're a salesperson, you get in the industry when things are hot, cars are selling like crazy, whatever. And then all of a sudden the recession hits. Now cars are not selling, right? You did not create that emergency fund. If you have a business and it's seasonal, if you get laid off often, then yeah, you need a serious emergency fund. But for the vast majority of us, you know, we can, especially if we have a job that if we were laid off, we would be, picked up somewhere else pretty straightforward. But yeah, you decide. If you go on the telly or the Infernal Net, you'll hear pundits say how important it is to have an emergency fund. Look, I'm not saying you should have $17.87 in your checking account and live on the edge. But yeah, think about it. You decide what emergency fund, what is needed for you. Now, checking for comprehension. Again, we have our ABCDs here. What is a mutual fund that pools the capital of a large number of investors and uses it to exclusively invest in short-term securities? Are they commercial paper, money market mutual funds, savings accounts, or certificates of deposits? These are money market mutual funds. You'll just hear people say money market. The money market mutual funds and the counterparts, the money market demand accounts, at the credit unions and banks have rates that are close to CDs without the early withdrawal penalty, but the interest rate changes all the time. So if it goes up, hooray. If it goes down, oh well, yeah, part of investing in them. What are savings instruments in which funds must remain on deposit for a specified period? There is normally a penalty for early withdrawal, commercial paper, money market mutual funds, savings accounts, or CDs. If interest rates are going down, you can lock in that good rate, but don't need the money before the CD matures. And as we said, if interest rates go up, they usually will give you that bump allowance, allowing you to knock up your interest rate to the current market rate. What are short-term unsecured promissory notes issued by corporations with very high credit standing, normally sold in $100,000 denominations? Commercial paper, money market mutual funds, savings accounts, CD, certificates of deposit. These are commercial paper and their cousins, bankers' acceptance notes. And most of us working grunts are not going to be buying these things. No, 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 no. Slide 71. What is a guaranteed demand account at a bank or credit union that normally pays little interest but will often be offered with a toaster or waffle iron, which makes it all worthwhile? You think I'm kidding, but they used to give out these things they were called vacation plans or Christmas club plans, and they didn't even pay interest. They didn't even pay interest, but they would say to the little lady of the house, "Oh, take some of your money, you know, and put it in our Christmas club for when you're ready Christmas, and we'll give you a toaster or a waffle." Look it up. You don't believe me? Look it up. Okay, let's take just a couple of moments and discuss who controls short-term interest rates. Well, this one slide could be an entire economics course, especially at the upper division level, folks, or graduate students, because how our money works is much more complicated than people believe. You know, some people believe, oh, our money's not worth anything. I say, you think so? A modern economy is not based on gold, thankfully, and we'll talk about gold later on. But the systems in place are around the world are called central banks, central bankers that control the money supply of their individual economies. And ours is called the Federal Reserve Bank, the Fed. Their job is to set short-term interest rates. They are the banker's bank. You and I don't go to the Fed. But banks do. They use the Fed as their bank. And the Fed has two mandates. Their job is to encourage full employment and keep inflation in check. Now, the problem, folks, is these objectives are often at odds with one another. You want to have enough cash in the system so that the wealth is being generated and we're raising money. the bar, raising the standard of living, making the pie bigger, whatever analogy you want to use. But at the same time, you don't want too much money in the system that it causes inflation. So it's a very difficult job. And sometimes they don't do a very good job. Sometimes they mess up royally. But other times they do a good job. And right now we're having a discussion about whether the Fed is doing a good job. And so far it looks like they're doing a pretty decent job. It's not easy. The Fed was designed to be independent and not subject to political pressures. Oh, boy. Usually the political pressure is tacit. It's underneath the surface. They don't, presidents and Congress people don't jump up and down and scream and holler. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they are very vocal about they're not happy with what the Fed is doing. For example, there was a great example recently with Trump, who before he was elected, when he was campaigning, he was yelling that the Federal Reserve should raise interest rates on Obama. But once he was the president, he didn't want the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates because, you know, it could cause a recession. So it's a cute example of the Fed. And they, to their credit, you know, they really did their best to just ignore all the political maneuvering, because they're not meant to be a political entity. They're meant to be an economic entity. They got 300 economists on the payroll. When inflation ticked up after COVID in 2022, all eyes have been on the Fed as they have been aggressively raising short-term interest rates. In 2022, oh boy, did they knock interest rates up fastest ever. And most people thought there was going to be a recession. In fact, at the end of 2022, going into 2023, there were just the cacophony of pundits was saying, oh, yeah, we're going to have a recession in 2023. You know what? They were wrong. Now, what about 2024? An election year? Well, we're going to see. Stay tuned. So far, they've been doing it, folks. They've been doing the impossible, and that is what is called engineering a soft landing, slowing the economy enough so that we kill inflation, which they've been doing. Inflation is down to 3% now. They're shooting for 2%. That's going to be a little tougher job, but they brought it from a peak of 9% down to 3%. That's pretty darn good. And at the same time, not having a recession where, you know, millions of people go out of lose their jobs and wealth is not being created. Wealth is being destroyed. you know, it's just hard to believe that they're going to be able to do it. So you still hear people saying in 2024, we're going to go through recession, but that's why they call it the future. And you'll also hear people say, well, we should get rid of the Fed. And I think, oh yeah, what are you going to, you want to go back to the gold standard? Are you serious? Do you actually know what you're doing? No, they don't. They don't understand. They need to become an economist is what they need to do. If they're really interested in that, but of course that's not in their cards. They just want to scream and jumping up and down and say, get rid of the Fed, as if you could do a better job. I don't think I could do a better job. So if you are so inclined, take an economics class or become an economist and learn about how modern economies in the modern age work. And, you know, nothing's perfect, but we've been raising the standard of living all around the world, folks. I'm very optimistic about our prospects economically if we don't blow ourselves up, die in our own waste, meteorite, tsunami, earthquake, disco returning. Yeah. Yeah. So stay tuned. And that, dear students, is our discussion of Chapter 1, Introduction to Investments, Overview of the Investment Universe, and Risk versus Return, the Eternal Struggle, and Short-Term Investments. Now, go back over this material. It's very important. Repetition is the key to learning. Some people out there, I'm not one of them, once they see something, hear something, watch something, boom, they got it. They don't have to worry about it. But, you know, that's about 10 to 15, 20% of the population. Most of us know we have to go over things, review. Repetition is the key to learning, because in our next chapter, dear students, oh my goodness, so important, mutual funds, investments for the masses. Chances are you're going to be investing in mutual funds through your 401k, 403b, employer-sponsored plan, or your IRA or the like. So stick with us. Think about how much you've learned and how much you're going to learn. We're so proud of you. All of us at Southwestern are happy, honored, privileged, and glad you're with us. Stick with us because we're going to make you into official investment gurus. Oh my goodness, you are going to be so awesome. Thank you for being in our class.